So, yeah, we are now live.
Yes.
Super. Sasa, I want you to answer. You will start.
So it's good afternoon in Germany, Frankfurt. Welcome to our podcast today, Under the Mango Tree. And as you may know, like we decided to call this podcast Under the Mango Tree because those days when we used to go to school, we used to hold most of our discussions, even with the teachers and our elders, under the mango tree. We'd have a discussion under the mango tree. Some parts of Kenya, they're still doing it, but as we've decided to do it in a modern way and introduce and discuss some topics that are touching on most of us Africans. And today, our topic of discussion is how to find or how to work on a business idea. So my name is Gillian Luangu Pirot. I'm the owner and founder of Nairobi Restaurant, and I'll hand over the introduction to you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, hi. My name is Elizabeth Holloman, and I'm a critical whiteness trainer, and also a consultant when it comes to creating anti-racism working environments. I also offer trainings in cross-culture and country analysis. Jill?
Yes, thank you so much, Elizabeth, for once again that we have this opportunity to meet. So I'll kick off today by how to find or work on a business idea. So for me, from my own experience, we've also I thought the first thing I thought about is I need to solve a problem. And for me, the problem was when I would try to import ingredients from Kenya for my own use at home. It was very difficult because some people, especially the customs who thought this food can is not fit for German consumption, for example. So I thought it is up to me to teach the people in Germany that our foods are edible, our foods are yummy, and all this kind of stuff. So that's how I came. I thought there is need for me to start cooking classes. And even when I used to go for the trainings on cooking classes, I found out actually the African and especially the Kenyan dishes were not covered. And that's how I came to start the Kenyan cooking classes. And for this was a unique selling point. There are many people who are very curious, both in the prof those who are in the cooking profession and also the hobby cooks, because my cooking classes are mostly attended to by hobby cooks. And with the spread of word and everything, I really hope that one day we will come to a position whereby importing ingredients from Kenya will not be a big headache because people will now start getting awareness and have the awareness of that our ingredients are safe for consumption.
You
Yes.
know, you're such an inspiration because when we look at finding a business idea, I always find it very difficult that some people have not been able to find their you know their your own uniqueness in terms of what business do I want to put out there, and they find themselves always waiting for somebody else to do something for them to jump on that bandwagon. But for me, I think because I'm like a passionate trainer, I never sleep. Each and every time I've got some new idea coming up with what can I do with this business? How can I, scale it? How can I offer my clients yet another, product that is unique to their problems? So I find that the way that you started off with your cooking classes and you've now expanded over to opening a restaurant, I think that outside there it also should be encouragement for other people to look at what is it I'm really passionate about? What is it that keeps me on my toes every day and night that when I just think about it, I'm feeling like my heart is racing and I think this is something I need to do. And you're also seeing that the market, this thing is missing, and it is a solution that can, be able to, like the way you're saying, the Kenyan dishes were not available, and hobby cooks were looking to cook for the Kenyan dishes. So, what are those problems that people have out there that my passion, my idea can be able to solve those problems? I think that is a way of finding a business idea. What is being searched for out there in the market? What is it that I'm doing? I'm offering trainings right now. Right now, I've you know, I've got so many people who are, I want to know why racism has is still on this planet. And me as a white person, I want to learn about it. I want to know what is going on. I want to know how it affects other people. Tell me. So this is the part of my training that I'm doing and educating people on that, you know, on that very painful part of our history. And I enjoy doing this type of work. So outside there, I think people should look for what is it that you have as a business idea and who is looking for which problem to be solved.
Mm-hmm. I'll touch on the word you guys talked about too, about exploring your passion. Because, you know, there's some people that will think, okay, the most common is a copy and paste mode where you see somebody else is doing it and you think, I'm jumping on it and I can do it. So mm-hmm. from my side, the first thing I looked at was what do I like to do? What do I like to do? I really love to cook. It's a passion, whether somebody's in the house or not, or I like entertaining guests, and there the main point for me is to cook and showcase how nice I can put the food on the plate. So I think I would suggest to most people who are working on a business idea, the first thing you should do is make a list of things you love to do and do for free, first of all, because it's not about the money at the end of the day. It's about what comes from the heart, because most businesses, it takes at least, if you're lucky, at least 1 or 2 years to reach the break-even.
Break-even, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even to start earning your own salary.
Mm.
Because the first year when you're working, you're actually working for other people, not yourself. So it has to be really from your heart. So can you continue doing that business out of passion and not expecting money for yourself?
Mm.
You know, but if you're really digging into it because of money, there you have to, I think you really have to, yeah, it takes a lot of work. And if you're lucky, 12 to 24 months to reach a place where you'll think, aha, now I'm earning my cash. Now money is coming in well, you know? So you have to make a business plan for about 5 years. What do you expect in 5 years? So if you're in 5 years, it doesn't grow.
You need to go back on the drawing table.
Yes. Mm. You have to go back on the drawing table and see. But actually, when you're preparing a business plan, I use it as a to-do list.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Nowadays, people really don't use the business plan. Nowadays, I encourage people to use the business Canva, because the business Canva is so detailed. It tells mm-hmm. you, as somebody who is starting on a passion based,
yes.
that who are you targeting this business for? Yeah. And then, you know, those are the things that the business Canva opens your eyes and tells you who you're targeting this business for. Who are those people that you're going to partner with? You know, we were talking just a few minutes ago when I was telling you, you started a restaurant. For somebody out there, there should be somebody saying, me, I'm into logistics and I want to specialize in food, perishable foods, for example, that I'm going to be supplying and the X number of restaurants that are coming up in Germany, for example. And mm-hmm. he goes, sources it. He works also with other partners, maybe in the packaging, in the branding, whatever. But at the end of the day, the two of you are working and are very interlinked together. So your business is actually opening doors for other people.
Yes.
To come and, you know, to come in and tell you, I want you to supply me. I want to be your supplier for this. I want to be the supplier for Guinness.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, the restaurant business, there's so much that opens.
There's so much, yes. Because I remember once a journalist visited me and it was all in the papers. You cannot imagine how many calls I got, people saying, we can supply you with this. We can supply. They didn't care whether you like the drinks. They did not care whether I'm looking for just Kenyan drinks.
They were supplying.
We are supplying you with drinks, you know? Mm. I mean, when you open a business, you're actually opening up a market for the other people.
Yeah.
You're opening up job opportunities for other people.
And the
thing only problem is that with us Africans, you get this job opportunity and you abuse it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No?
And that is also another thing. You know, there's another girl that I saw that was being asked why she only likes to work in the service industry, gastronomy industry. And she said, that is the dream job that I wanted to always do. I like serving people. I like the atmosphere. I like the you know, this culture around the gastronomy. And that is what she does. passionately.
Yes, that's a passion, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The other thing that you are saying about passion, especially when you come to deciding what business to do, is when there are problems. You remember we're talking about solutions. If you're passionate about this, what you're doing, can you imagine you're the one who's going to find the solutions faster? But if I'm doing it because I've seen somebody else do it, it's not mine, it was never mine, I'm just doing it because I want to earn the quick money. When problems start to come, that is when you start to see yourself stalling or having problems.
Yeah. No, it's not easy at all. So that's the case whereby, and then you also have to, is it called SWOT analysis, where you look at the strengths and the weaknesses of the business. You also have to do that. You have to weigh the pros and cons.
Yeah.
And also, okay, in Germany, I've come to realize, okay, many people used to tell me, if you want to open a restaurant, you must be in Frankfurt City Center.
Yeah.
That's what I was told. So the problem with Frankfurt City Center, the rent is on another level. I can't even describe it. Because the first of all, there's the rent. And then there's this thing I found out when I was looking for a location, I was introduced to the word Abstand, it's called what? Abstandgebühren or something.
What's that?
At first I thought it's a deposit, but it's not a deposit.
Oops.
Yeah, it's like if you're taking a room that was a restaurant, it's like you're buying what is in that, like you're buying the chairs, the kitchen and everything. So for me, my problem was, what if I want to take the restaurant and I want to get rid of the kitchen and put another kitchen?
Yeah.
You don't like it. Mm-hmm. No, nothing like that. The deal is Abstandgebühren. What you'll do with the kitchen is your problem. But I'm like, what if I rent just for 2 years and I want out?
Yeah.
I cannot move out with that kitchen because it will not fit in another kitchen.
Gosh.
Yes. I mean, it was crazy. So that's why at the end of the day, I stayed in Eshbourne, and there it's reasonable, you know. Mm. The rent is reasonable. They don't charge this Abstand fee.
We were talking about, let's talk about the employees as one of the major problems. I definitely decided never to employ. I would love to employ people. Because there's so many things, like right now with the, you know, coordinating with my clients, writing proposals. I'd really love to work. And I'm also one person that I'm principled in that I would like to give the opportunity to a Kenyan, but or to an African for that matter. But I always find it so extremely difficult, because I don't know whether it is me who is difficult to work with, or I just demand too much. But how is your experiences with employing?
The experiences, what am I saying? The experience I had, getting employees is very difficult, especially being a typical Kenyan restaurant. I have to get workers who know the Kenyan dishes, who can explain to the client what they're eating, because most of the clients who come to the restaurant are Germans. They always say, "Ich brauche Beratung." You have to tell them what they're going to eat. Of course, on the menu, I've described each and every ingredient that is in that particular dish. Still the same, they would like to hear from the horse's mouth. Mm. What am I eating? So that's the entire time when I thought, I cannot employ Germans. First of all, they cannot pronounce the food, the name of the food. And there are clients who are irritated. They're Germans, but they're irritated. You're not pronouncing the food as a Kenyan, like a Kenyan. You know? So in this case, I had to get Kenyan employees. Yeah, so the challenge is, it's not easy to get employees. And the question which has been coming up a lot is that, why can't you get somebody from Kenya? You know, it's also very difficult because the laws and regulations by Germans for you to get somebody from Kenya, first of all, it is super expensive.
Mm.
Yeah, because they expect you to, the employee you're bringing from home, they have already put down how much they should earn for them to have a comfortable life in Germany.
So you can't go being under stranded. That.
Huh?
So you can't go under that.
No. They just told me minimum salary is this, and then insurance is in there and everything. You have to pay insurance and everything comes extra. A contract, it's not easy to get someone from Kenya to come and work here. It's also very difficult just to apply for the visa. Let's see. I don't know. It's a bit difficult. It's a big challenge to get workers. And now I understand why sometimes when I look at the situation, I understand why most African restaurants are closed. Yeah. Workers, having employees is the biggest challenges of all.
It is sad because that is a job opportunity. People are looking for jobs, but
But don't forget, most of us Africans treat restaurant jobs as a side hustle.
So,
yes, they are not like, if you get most of the employees, they have another job. So they just want to work with you as a mini job.
But that doesn't work well for you, does it?
Sometimes it doesn't work well because it also depends on the day of the week. You'll find everybody wants to work over the weekend. You know, I cannot have everybody, the restaurant full with people over the weekend. I also need people during the week. Yeah, but during the week is difficult because they're working somewhere else on a permanent contract.
Yeah, and then also when they are okay coming, maybe also the biggest issue was the reliability, because I cannot be able to have, even when I've got people working here in the house, I cannot have somebody that is not reliable. I need reliability, and by which I don't demand much, but I don't compromise when it comes to reliability.
Very true.
I need somebody that holds their word, keeps their word. And I do understand there's going to be, you know, some hiccups here and there. Somebody's going to be sick. But then there's a telephone that you can call and everything can be, you know, rescheduled and redone. But also respect. For me, I think that I need somebody that also respects that job, that money that they're getting from that place that you're paying them. I need them to see it as a respect. They treat it with respect, because whatever amount of that money that is being paid, small or big, there is something that money is helping that person to do. That is why there is this connection. So for me, I now transferred all my human resources that I would have used. I'm doing it on a technology or outsourcing it. Because outsourcing it, I can find tables and it's, things are being done.
Actually, when you talk of outsourcing technology, look, okay, when I was doing the cooking classes, I didn't need employees.
No.
That way it was quite, everything was on me, so it was perfectly fine. I did not have anybody to fight with. I don't have anybody to fight with. But now then I started catering. With catering, I could just get temporary workers. They come, I pay them, they walk. That was okay. But now with a restaurant that's standing, you need an employee from Tuesday to Sunday. Which is so, I didn't realize that it would be so difficult to get employees. I would never have thought about it in 100 years. Because, you know, Germany is a country known for people who like working, they have to work. And then you find our brothers and sisters who take it for granted, you know?
Yeah, and I think most likely you're also finding it very difficult to drop the idea of not employing Kenyans and actually take, you know, most likely Germans for the job, you know? Because there you're going to find reliability, but then you're losing or you're compromising on the authenticity of the restaurant and the whole idea why you even started it.
Yeah, because I want that identity, because I'm branding Kenya.
Yeah.
I'm branding Kenya, and it's expected when people walk in that they find Kenyans are the ones selling the food.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody walks in and finds a German, it would be a bit weird unless I sit the person down and really train him to pronounce the foods correctly, which I don't know if I have the time for that.
That is again another problem that needs another solution altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody's listening to this, maybe somebody would have started a business of training Germans to pronounce Kenyan.
the people who are
get doing, a USP why, out of that.
But you see, we are now going again and going back to what we originally said. You opened a restaurant and it is opened outlets for people. So now we are talking about if there's somebody teaching some people Germans there, and I mean Swahili, and these people would like to work in an Arab environment where they are also speaking the language, maybe that is also a possibility for them. So all those teachers or, you know, trainers or whatever that are doing languages and teaching Swahili for that matter, maybe it would be an opportunity for you to consider instead of, you know, looking for another alternative that is not maybe suitable for the whole concept of what you put up the business for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I also wanted to talk about the creating a market, you know, creating your own market, that a unique selling point. I came across Dr. Omar's video. I think I sent it to you, where he said that the fact that the Africans are not, or Black people are not producing products that are, let me say, that are, the qualities are falling short, or, you know, the reliabilities, et cetera, does not mean that we should stop and go back to, you know, to promoting other communities. We should stick to our community. And this is also where I always want to tell and encourage people to look up at their own unique selling point. What is your own unique selling point? You know, the USP that you have, that is also going to draw other markets or other partners to you that would like to partner with you. And what are those contingency plans that you've got for yourself? Because if we are going to promote African business based on the fact that once somebody has done a mistake, we don't go back there and go back and, you know, say, okay, me, I don't like this, whatever, and now I take it back to Gucci and stuff like that. We can never build our own economy. Our own economy must be based on the fact that we are going to look for those markets or for those people that are out there, and there are so many out there now, doing the products that you maybe want to source. So the fact that one person is not doing it well does not mean that you should stop promoting. But on the other side, if you are one of those people who are out to sell your products, consider uplifting yourselves, consider uplifting your product, consider looking at your unique selling point. Who are you? Who are you selling to? And why should people come to you? No? And after they've come to you, you need to ask them, and how was your experience working with me? This is something, again, that we lack, that we do not go back and ask our client, how was your experience? What did you think? What can happen or what not? I'm not saying those critics that people like to go, this is rubbish, you know, like the way that we always want to finish off somebody's business, but really tangible, workable critics that people can give you to help you promote your business, not to damage you, you know, not psychologically damage you. I've got so many people that always have the tendency of wanting to damage and not wanting to uplift. So if there is somebody out there who thinks that they have a unique selling point or selling product or whatever, they can even let us know, and we can call them up on the podcast so that they can talk about why do they need to be considered as one of those people who are working in promoting the Black-owned business, and why should we support this person?
I think we can also give them consultation. I mean,
yes. Yes.
We can also give them, of course, not for free.
I don't do things for free, sorry.
Yeah, we can give them consultation because we are talking, we are both entrepreneurs, and we are talking from experience in Germany, because there's some cases where somebody just wakes up and thinks they can start a business. They have to remember there's registration, Steuerberater is waiting, Finanzamt is waiting, you know, all these things. You can only find out of experience. Before you experience, you have no idea.
Yeah, and you also have to invest in your business. But that is another way, when they come to ask for those consultation, you are investing in your own business. You're investing in your business, and you're investing in yourself. Those two components you can never neglect. If you want to scale up your business, if you want to see that your business is developing, you must invest in yourself. You must invest in your business. Otherwise, you're really, you know, you're going to be stagnant. You're going to find yourself, everybody else is, you know, scaling and doing this and, you know, adding on, plugging in this into their business. And you are doing the same old business that you started in 1900, or somebody else started in 1900. You're just replicating it, but you're not going anywhere. concrete with it. Yeah.
And investing in yourself also, it means taking part in regular trainings, taking part in getting consultation, attending to seminars, you know? Yeah, because you cannot just sit there, because modernization, like in Germany, people change, things change within 3 months. People modernize within, I think it's going to turn down into a month. Because I remember those days when I would go, an example, you go to work and then you take a maternity leave, you come back after 1 year. Do you know how much has changed?
Yes. Yes, I remember in my workplace where I used to work in a Japanese company, we were the first, you know, those days in the 90s, where we were starting to use the computer, and there were some people that had gone on maternity leave as we were just, as maybe they were just using the other, you know, carbon copies and I don't know what, make three papers and whatnot. And they came back and they found we're now saving things on disks, we're now saving things on drives, and we're now using the computers, and everything has been digitalized, you know, that the accounting system is now going on a digitalized, you know, platform. So the minute that you're out of the market for a few days nowadays, it makes a huge difference.
Yes, you really have to update yourself one way or the other. Like in my case, there's this regular gastronomy meeting I always have. There's the gastronomy meeting, and there's also there's somebody who started, he used to be on several restaurants in Germany in different cities, and now he's closed, or rather he sold his restaurants, and now he's giving people consultation on running restaurants and franchise and everything.
Yeah,
so it's something I have to do at least once a month, because things are changing so fast.
Yeah.
Because these days you cannot take an order at the customer writing on a paper. It can't work.
You remember the times that you have the, you know, that decal, and then you put cross, cross, cross. This is not longer working, because you also have finance. You're telling me that finance would come in and they'll just dock into your...
Into the system. Yeah.
Into the cash system.
Yeah. Because you have to have your table number, there's your custom system. When the waiter or the service person is taking an order, puts it in the system, and then it's matched to the table. You don't try things with the hand anymore. And then don't forget finance, the green people.
Sol.
There's the Sol. And then these people who green, they do environmentalists, these people who don't want you to use a lot of paper.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah, the environmental, you have to be environmental friendly by avoiding using paper.
Oh, it is now like being monitored. I didn't know that.
Yes, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. So everything is computerized. This thing of writing on paper, and actually I noticed when you're putting an order on paper, I was using blocks and blocks. I would finish 4 blocks within a week.
And that is actually, even without thinking about the environment, it's wastage. Because... Yeah. What do you do? What are you doing with the paper? You're not reusing them. You're throwing them away.
Yeah. So I just thought you just have the system. Somebody types in, or actually it's not typing in. They just click.
Yeah.
Because I've already put all the dishes in the system. So it's a matter of click. Hauptspeise, ugali na bifkaranga pap. You just click and it goes over, you know? I think you're getting closer to artificial intelligence.
You want to talk about artificial intelligence? But I think that even if it is going to be one of those things, those topics that we have to eventually...
We have to discuss it, because actually it's getting more and more.
Yes, yes. I think
because I remember somebody brought up this topic at the bank, and many people are scared that we are going to lose our jobs.
Yeah.
Because that artificial, I've used the app. Can I call it an app for the system? Let me use the word. It is too perfect. The only thing it cannot do is the things on the ground. But anything else, answering questions. You put in a question. I was looking and I was like, okay, have a plan B.
You know, the thing is, I was the other time when I was traveling with the Deutsche Bahn, I don't know when it was, where they keep announcing, you know, that there's going to be late, there's going to be what. Do you know that is not somebody seated there doing it? It is artificial intelligence. Yes. Somebody just presses, somebody who goes there and they, you know, they go in and they, what are they called?
They record.
No, you go in there and you apply to be the voice, you know, and then they shortlist and then your voice is being taken as somebody who can read that because you've got a nice voice, you've got a warm, blah, blah, blah. And mm-hmm. you're told to read all that, you know, of glycines. I don't know what, like me, they would not ask me because people would be running on the glass when they hear my voice alone. But the fact is that, you know, they have just to press, you know, they press that and they can do it from anywhere, like with an app or whatever, then on glass, whatever, on, you know, on Banoff, whatever, that message is being delivered. And it's like, it is so unavoidable. It's scary. But on the other hand, it is so unavoidable that we have to eventually, as Black-owned business, look at and what are those AEs that we can offer our own businesses to make people work smarter and not harder. I think that is where, if I was to look at it, I'd look at it on that aspect of how can we, because I'm a person who never works hard, I want to always work smart.
Smarter, exactly. When you talked of the train station, one time I was going to work and I was the train. Then when somehow the driver decided when you're driving into Frankfurt Central Station, he makes the announcement himself.
Yeah.
Then he decided to say, for those who are getting off at the Frankfurt train station, please get out. It's a beautiful weather. And when you're going about your job, just have a nice day and smile. And then somebody in the train shouted, oh my goodness, have we been kidnapped?
They were shocked. They couldn't believe that because people
the guy was so polite, you know, these pilot voices.
Yeah.
And then somebody's like, yeah, that guy, he was sacked from Lufthansa. Now he's coming.
Now he's coming to do his, you know.
In summertime, there's always one person, at least when I get it to the show, there's always this particular driver who always does this funny announcement telling us the weather is so nice. He appreciates that we took the Deutsche Bahn.
We have to look at we need to look at that topic. I'm not sure who we can invite to come in with us, but we really need to look at that topic on an economic aspect, particularly in how can we use the AE for making our work easier, or how can we make work smarter as opposed to working harder,
and actually to be saving money.
And it saves money. Saturday as it is, it saves money.
Because it saves money, yes, because you're not paying insurance for the artificial, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they don't go sick. Let's not go there for now, because we're also still in the, we're trying to find out what it is all about and what are those aspects of the AE that we can also use for our own sales, for our own businesses. I remember the time that we was during COVID where trainings now had to go online.
Oh yeah.
I suffered. I thought I was going to have the biggest heart attack. I couldn't imagine doing trainings without having my participants doing the simulations, without them going into the group work and stuff like that. I thought this is never going to work out, you know, but took a training course on how to do trainings online. It was so easy. It was just the mindset, you know.
It's just like cooking. There was no day in life I would ever thought that you can do online. You can give online cooking classes.
Imagine the time that we said, why don't we try? It was like, and why haven't we been doing this all the time?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, it was so easy because I was cooking with people in New York, Paris, all that far. I did not have to jump on a plane to go, and I was not spending anything in the air or something, you know?
Yeah.
Amazing. I would like to give a shout out to those who would like to discuss with us on AI or AE. You're most welcome. We would like, maybe we could tackle it next Monday for those who will be interested.
Yeah.
And for those who have more knowledge on it.
Yeah.
So
have we done 1 hour already? I think we have, because our podcast normally goes for 1 hour. And for those people who are wondering, why is Elizabeth and Jill doing the podcast via Zoom using this? It's very simple. Jill is based in Frankfurt and I'm based in Kempen. There's a 2-hour drive. So we decided we one point in time that we're going to meet live together. But in order to keep the regular, to offer you regular podcast information, well, this is one method that we've chosen. And then after some time, we're going to be uploading all this on our social media pages. My page is called at RaceThink on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Yeah, those are the three platforms I'm in. And yours is called?
For me, it's a Nairobi restaurant. I need to change the name here.
Mm.
Call it Nairobi restaurant. My ethnic cooking, because now in the future, as I keep growing, I'll cover everything under Nairobi restaurant, because I'll be teaching also the cooking classes under Nairobi restaurant. Yeah.
So that's where you can catch us. And yeah. And of course, you're most welcome to join us on the lives on Zoom. Yeah. So for now, thank you so much that you people were with us under the mango tree. As usual, we look forward to getting your feedbacks. And also, if you have any topic that you'd like us to tackle, please just put it there. We are trying to get a consolidation of some speakers that are going to be coming up. But we're trying to, first of all, build the platform and see how it grows.
Yes. Yeah. So, thank you so much for this lively discussion. For me, I found it very lively and a bit, also for myself, it's like I've learned something also extra out of this podcast.
Yeah.
It's not just like we're talking to people about it and our own experiences. I've also picked up one thing or two for my self-improvement, because even the business, when you start a business, you have to look at how to improve it.
Yeah.
In the future. You cannot just start a business and stay there. You have to look at what is changing, what is expected, what are the clientele, what are the clients looking up to. You have also to keep changing and keeping in trend, so to speak.
Mm.
Yes.
So with that said, we say right now in Swahili, kwaherini, that is ovidazin of Dutch, or goodbye of in English. And till next time.
Kwaherini and asante sana. Till next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.